Hi, welcome to Restoratively Yours, Belvedere Youth Club podcast series about restorative practice. I am Jenny Courtney, BYC's General Manager. We are a youth club based in Dublin in our city, and in 2019 we embarked on a journey to become a restorative hub in the community. Restorative practice, RP in short, is a philosophy and a set of practices focusing on building and maintaining good relationships and dealing with conflict in a healthy way when it occurs. For us, it has become the way we want to do everything. In this series, you will hear our story, the ups and the downs of our journey through different voices. Dorothy, our RP consultant, will guide you along the way. We hope it will be inspiring and enlightening.
Hello, this is the last episode of this series, but this is not the end point of the journey, and maybe that was the challenge in producing this last episode. First, one key element of sustaining the implementation of RP is to run community of practice, and there are many ways of doing so. Community of practice, or COP for short, are meetings where practitioners can reflect on their practice. There were various challenges during the implementation. We talked about them in other episodes, and it was difficult to get the buy-in from everybody. COPs have reflected this difficulty, and you will hear from Dean and Jenny about this.
We did have our community of practice every 2 weeks. It was great to have that space. We had them on a Wednesday, actually, and it was great to have the space for us to come together. But sometimes I think the focus went off to community of practice and it became an airing ground. I suppose for people to air their dirty laundry or, you know, to just have a rant or whatever. And that's not the purpose of a community of practice. So sometimes I felt that it went a little bit skewed. Sometimes I feel that staff did kind of target the RP coordinator in the community of practice, which was very unfair as well. So I think that needs to be looked at moving forward. And we need to get back to basically the terms of reference or the purpose of the community of practice and what it is for us. Because there was some days and some community practices where you'd have staff kind of after it, they were all over the place, and then they had to go into groups and deliver sessions with groups, and there was unresolved stuff there, you know. So again, there's learning in that for us moving forward.
When we were doing them regularly, they would be every 2 weeks, you know. Sometimes logistically that wouldn't allow for that, you know. My initial sort of experience of COPs would have been at the start of the pandemic in doing them online with the NCI, with Emma Wheatley, and they were very topical. We would sort of discuss articles of the day or maybe things that were happening in the news. Like we discussed a lot around racism, and at the time there was the whole thing with the Floyds in America, like and the whole sort of racist sort of issue there. And yeah, it was very topical, like I say. The cops, for whatever reason, in BYC were a bit different. They were sort of, in my opinion, they were misused. You know, they seemed to be used a lot of times to air out sort of staff grievances and to air out sort of issues and challenges that the team might have. So for me, that space was misused. Only up until maybe the last maybe 3 or 4 months of doing them, of sort of James's last sort of three or four months is when we started to use them properly as sort of digging into our practice, you know, to our restorative approach here, which wasn't really the case before, you know. So my experience with COPs in here, that's been run by here, hasn't been the greatest, to be honest.
Interestingly, it seems now a good balance has been found, and there is an internal COP allowing the staff to build on their skills and reflect on their practice productively, alternating with the external COP run by Emma. It took time to find this balance, but I think it was necessary and part of the implementation process. While I have been documenting the club's story over the past few months, it's not formal research. Still, as an outsider, I have noticed some shifts, and it is reflected in what Jenny, CEO, and Gillian, operation managers, share with us.
I think where we're at the moment is we're at a very, very big crossroads, and this is me speaking personally. The whole restorative practice model has been a game changer for us here. Keeping it going, yeah. But it's difficult because it's so easy to, you know, everybody's so, so busy, and have we got time for opening circles? Have we got, you know, and everybody is, you know, and I think I'm okay to speak for everybody here by saying this. Everybody here, we're all making a very, very conscious effort to carry it on. So it's not like, oh, there's nobody here watching, then we'll forget. You know, this is how we do it now. It's been inbred into us now. This is how we do it. And this is how we're going to continue on doing, which I think is very, very positive. That's second nature now. We are doing it. Is, you know, initially, if you went back 2-3 years ago, it'd be, what do you mean? Summer is the most busiest season of the year. How are we supposed to be doing check-ins? How are we supposed to have team meetings? How are we supposed to consult with everybody? All the likes of that. Now that doesn't even come up. You know, it doesn't even, we don't even have to highlight that now. That's just what we do and how we do it. You know, and I think that's the positivity of it. On the flip side, do we always do it right? No, but then is there ever a right and a wrong? You know, everybody has their own way of doing it, and everybody has their different ways of doing it. And everybody needs to sort of understand that not everything is done the same way by everybody. And I think I've learned more, if I've learned anything in this whole process of the last number of years, is that everybody is different, you know, and everybody does stuff differently. And I find myself, and I hate saying this, but I don't know how else to say it. And I'm not saying it to knock what people do. I'm saying it purely to give examples of, like, you know, even on residential, but what we used to do was, you know, and it's that whole what we used to do was, but that's, some people take me saying what we used to do was as, oh, there she goes now, she's comparing us to them. And I'm actually not, I'm trying to give example. We done this and it worked really, really well. Or we did do that before and it was a disaster, but go ahead and try it again. And that's purely where I'm going from. I'm trying to give my experience, and I can only speak on experience. I don't know it all. You know what I mean?
So relationships are hard, Dorothy, aren't they? God. But yeah, relationships. Okay. And it comes back to that piece again where I've said, so I believe in my role that I'd be very fair. And I believe that I will be restorative by nature anyway. But I am firm when I need to be firm as well. And, you know, I've never shied away from not being direct. If I need to say something, I'll have to say it. And that's just the way it is. I'm only new to the Belvedere, relatively new. I'm here 4 years now. But I just got here before we embedded on the journey of restorative practice. But I was very familiar with restorative practice from another organisation that I worked in. But as a Southsider coming over to the North side, that was a massive thing in itself. You know, who does this one think she is now coming over here? You know, so there was a lot of that at the start. But I think I just needed to be true to myself, you know, and to my values. And my values would really align with the RP values and philosophy. And once I stayed on that path and stayed true to that, and then obviously stayed true to the strategy of the organisation and the vision and the mission, you know, there were sticky moments, but we walked through the relationships, you know. And I think by being honest, I think you need to be honest in your communication. And I think restorative practice has supported us all to be honest in our communications. I still do feel that staff are at different levels, and that's always the way it's going to be. And some staff are more comfortable about calling things out or saying things out loud, and other staff are not, you know. But I keep encouraging staff, no matter what it is, to have the conversations. You know, we're all professionals. I have an open door policy. Staff know that, young people know that. I'd be very hands-on as well. Like, for me, it's very important to build relationships with the young people and their families as well. So that when I am sitting around at tables where people are making decisions and key decisions or pulling funding, you know, that I know what the impact of that is going to be. So I can be very vocal in them spaces as well. So if I hadn't got the relationships in place with the young people or their families, I wouldn't be able to do that. But I still think the balance of, you know, supporting people, again, we can't make people take accountability, but you can get an awful lot of fingers pointing, I found, through the whole implementation process, and there'd be gaps in people taking accountability. So then it's, okay, how do we implement the consequences then? You know, and my whole thing is, and what I say to staff is, like, if you're pointing the finger, there's three pointing back at you. So you obviously have a role to play in something. Do you know? And I use that with myself as well, Dorothy. So for me, though, I always kind of go to see first if something happens or if there's a bit of conflict or whatever the situation is, like, okay, what's my role in that first? But I would have done throughout the years, I suppose, a lot of self-development work. I'm older than a lot of the staff. We have a young staff as well, which life experience speaks volumes to. So when you've staff that are quite young, it's hard to get that open-mindedness as well at times. And that can be hard with trying to manage the relationships. But I don't think we've done too badly. There has been some incidences and situations, but overall, like, it hadn't been easy on staff. Like, this is a whole different way of working, you know, and that staff wouldn't be familiar with. So, yeah, I'm happy with where we're at the moment, and just looking forward a little bit uncertain, I suppose. We need to get the RP advisory committee now up and running, the working group, and to keep the focus of RP on the agenda, because it's one of our core areas in our strategy.
So we need to conclude when it's all work in progress, and that's the challenge of this last episode. With this podcast, BYC staff members have been able to share their reflection on their journey at a specific moment. And to be fair, maybe re-listening, they will think, oh, now I think differently. Or we actually move forward with this and that, we've solved that issue. So for our listeners, it's important to keep this in mind. The podcasts capture reflection as they are at one given moment in time. And we conclude the podcast, but this is not an end point. Everything is moving all the time. It's all about practice, adjustments, and reflection. And it leads to my second point. Maybe the most palpable change for me over the year I spent documenting this project is that now the direction seems clear for everyone and there is more trust in the team. So there were changes in the staff, people leaving, which is always sad, new people coming, but consistency in the understanding and practice has improved. And this is due to the commitment of the staff in finding ways of working together and designing their own code of conduct with RP at its core. Conflicts and tensions, some specifically related to RP, have been navigated and overcome. The project has evolved into a shared collective vision. What about the impact on young people? So it has been challenging to record them, and I have to say I wish you could hear them more in this series. It was challenging because they are very busy while in the club and very keen on diving into the various fun activities they are offered. So what we hope to do is to produce short videos where you'll hear their voice more, as the format is actually more adapted. If the club was always a vibrant and joyful place, there is an added dimension now. Proper research could delve deeper into this. But for me, again, as an outsider, relationships seem stagier and the atmosphere is calmer. The Youth Council is active and young people have responsibilities like setting their code of conduct and suggesting activities. Now, it seems that while there is still work to do in sustaining the implementation internally, the club is ready for the second phase of the project, reaching out, forming partnership and spreading the RP in the community. It started with a visit recently from Derry Youth Service. You can read about it on our blog, and we'll continue with plans to engage with parents and older youth in the near future. It's an ongoing journey with no real endpoint. It's about practice, adjustment, and reflection. And the club's current state looks really promising, a space to watch for positive and hopeful development.
Thank you for listening to our podcasts. The season is over now, but you can follow us on our social media accounts. It was a pleasure sharing our story with you, and we hope it will inspire many of you and spread the RP virus in youth work widely.